Hello and welcome to Talking Pretty. Our clothes need to tell stories.
You had to just pick one outfit for the rest of your life. Thank you so much for the fun question.
Little black dress.
It would be a white sari for sure.
We're getting you conversations around fashion and sustainability. The second-hand market has been valued at $130 billion and, according to global data, it is projected to grow 127% by 2026. That's 16 times faster than the clothing retail sector. Clearly, thrifting is here to stay, and if done right, it is definitely a better, more sustainable option to buying new. But it comes with its ups and downs and do's and don'ts. In this episode, we take you behind the scenes of a second-hand fashion business. Siddhi Ganatra is the founder of Dubara, a platform to help you buy and sell second-hand luxury goods. A graduate of Kriya in Seek, Siddhi has a background in luxury marketing and believes that every garment, every accessory deserves a second chance. Hi Siddhi, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi Prerna, thank you so much for having me over.
Siddhi, I love what you've been doing at Dubara, and you know, Dubara literally being like a second chance to fashion. You also, of course, do other products as well, but you focused on fashion, and I think that is so important if we are going to talk about sustainability and about making our wardrobes more sustainable. Tell me, Siddhi, how did Dubara come to be?
So I think it really started when I used to live in Switzerland, and then I moved back to India. And I feel like there was a big gap between the secondhand market in Europe or like in America versus the secondhand market in India. And just the fact that there are so many treasures, you know, that you find in most of these places abroad. And then you come back here and you're like, I'm not willing to walk into a Zara or an H&M or any fast fashion for that matter. And the gap was just too large. You know, there had to be some bridging of the gap that had to happen at some point. And that's pretty much why I think it had to start. And I do know that post-COVID, a lot of people came out there and they started selling their wardrobes on social media and started doing all of those things. And I think it was such a beautiful idea, right? Because if there's one thing COVID taught us, it's also to live sustainably. It's the fact that so many people started adopting sustainable practices in their everyday life. I think most of us were rotating in like four pairs of clothes throughout COVID, and it was completely fine. Everyone was very happy doing that, you know. So I feel like it really started with that whole thing of bridging the gap, A, and B, also being as sustainable as possible in the fashion industry within a country like India.
So, Siddhi, how did you curate your first lot of things that you put up?
So being a house full of women, my mother, my sister, my grandmother, there were so many phases of our lives where we all went, and we all do, right? We all go through these different phases where at some point you love something that you're wearing, at some point you don't, at some point you fit into it, at some point you don't fit into it. And these are like inevitable factors that lead into you not wearing a particular piece of garment, right? And I think it started off with just the women in my house. I was like, you know, you got to start anywhere you start at home. So I think it pretty much started with that. And then slowly, once I sort of, you know, formed the page online and everything, a lot of friends and family started getting in touch with me. And then it was just domino effect. One thing led to another, one friend led to another friend led to another friend. And then it just continued being a friends and family thing. And up to today, I would say it's a friends and family thing, because I know that it's coming from a very trusted source like that.
Right. So, Siddhi, what kind of quality checks do you have in place? And what do you do if something does not match the description, you know, or the condition that was promised to you?
So a lot of times when it comes to sourcing, for example, if there's person X who's giving me their things, I tell them to first send me pictures. So say if you have 10 items that you're willing to sell, you give me pictures of these 10 items. I tell everybody it has to be in a 9 or 10 on 10 condition. It doesn't necessarily have to be like with tags or with anything of that sort. It just has to be in a good 9 or 10 condition thing. If I receive the items and I see, for example, there's a stain, and if I try to remove the stain, it's not going to come out. I'm not going to be able to fix it with like a lace or a button, you know, there. Then I just have to be very honest with them and say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be able to sell this. You want me to donate it? You want me to give it back to you, and you want to see what you want to do with it? Or you want me to put it to any other use, you know, recycle them into making a scrunchie or recycle them into making a table mat or whatever. I'm happy to do that. But as a piece of clothing, this cannot sell. So that is when it comes to clothes. When it comes to bags and when it comes to authenticity of bags, if I'm taking items from anybody, it has to come with the authentication card. If it doesn't come with the authentication card, there's usually codes that you have, you know, written behind luxury brands usually, where I even tell them that, hey, you know what, you want to go to like a Louis Vuitton and put this code and check where it was bought, how it was bought, when, where, etc. They give you all of those details. So I think because there's such a huge market of fake things that at no point anyone needs to confuse secondhand with fake, because a lot of times the line is very blurry, and at no point a secondhand brand should be selling fake brands. Like that, I think, is one thing that everybody out there needs to know very, very carefully, that one shouldn't be confused for another. So when it comes to bags, it's that. When it comes to clothes, it's that. And if ever there is a situation where I feel like this is not going to meet a client's happiness, then I'm just very clear to the person I'm taking it from. I'm sorry, like I said earlier, that I cannot sell this. I'm happy to recycle, donate, give it back, etc.
When you recycle or, you know, upcycle it into something else, what happens to the product then?
The easiest thing to do, to be honest, is upcycle them into scrunchies, because you don't need a lot of fabric for that. You don't need great tailoring expertise in doing something like that. And then that can be either sold as scrunchies, or a lot of people who buy from me also know that they get it as a free souvenir kind of a thing with every purchase that they make. That, hey, you know what? Apart from you supporting something that is secondhand, you're also getting something recycled / upcycled. So usually that's the easiest thing to do. But apart from that, I also make tiny pouches, you know, where you can just fit like 2-3 rings or a bracelet or something like that. And just like these tiny, tiny items, which are so easy to upcycle. You don't need a lot of, you know, you don't need a sewing machine. You don't need any of these things. You just need a needle and a thread. And you just go ahead and upcycle. Because even in the folds that you make, probably the stain is getting hidden, or, you know, something like that is happening. So I think it's a great way to also ensure that the garment is, at the end of the day, not going or not ending up in a landfill, because that's the whole purpose behind doing this in the first place.
Right. So when you have to put in all this work, I'm guessing then that is something that the seller doesn't get paid for, right?
No, of course not. They don't get paid for it, because also, unfortunately, a lot of times when people are giving things, they also feel like, okay, we just need to get rid of the things that we don't wear anymore, not realizing that when they're unhoarding things from their wardrobe, they're also removing a bunch of things that are probably mildly destroyed in the process, right? So they just feel that, okay, this is secondhand, so just give everything. You know, a lot of times, which is why I ask for pictures, I make sure that these things happen, so that this process and this time, wastage of time and energy and resources and materials and everything doesn't really happen, you know. But of course, that's become very less now. It doesn't happen that much. But yeah, if you tell them that, hey, you know what, I've tried removing the stain, I've tried like working around it, it's not going to work. So I'm going to take this and recycle it or upcycle it in a way that I think best. I think people are very okay about it. They're really, you know, accepting. They're very happy, in fact, about the fact that, hey, you know what, we're supporting this cause. And if this can't be used in aspect A, at least it can be used in aspect B. So I think that kind of works.
Now, if I want to sell some of my clothes and accessories, what should I keep in mind, or, you know, be mindful of? Like, do you have like any stories where people have possibly sent you something that has turned out to be like a complete disaster?
Well, this one time I did have a bunch of clothes given to me by somebody where it was like some 40, 50 pieces of clothing. And I can tell you that 50% of them came with stains. So not only am I spending time and water, for example, in sort of getting these rewashed, which, like I said, is no problem, right? Like there is no problem in terms of, hey, you know what, if the stains cannot be removed by you, perhaps, you know, I have ways and means of getting them removed in a particular way. And I'm happy to sort of do that as long as it is going into reusage again. As long as it's being recycled again, I'm absolutely okay with that. But I do think what people need to keep in mind is that you cannot be giving things where you know that you won't buy it secondhand yourself. You know, like, and I think that's a very important thing to remember. I think it's also important to remember a lot of people give things with tags, like brand new tags. And I think that happens with all of us, right? And they expect a retail price on it, which I think, again, goes against the whole idea of secondhand. I think these are two main things that, you know, people should keep in mind. Also in terms of packaging, right? Like try to recycle as much as you can. We all have extra bubble wrap lying around in the house. We all have extra boxes that we don't use in the house. Like try recycling as much as you can, even when you're sending it across, because that's the whole purpose behind this sustainable module.
And it just comes to nothing if you're going to go around buying new packaging to, you know,
Absolutely.
And in all probability, that packaging has a fair amount of plastic in it, so which compounds the problem.
Which again goes against the purpose, yes.
So, Siddhi, we've spoken about things coming into you and what you do with how you check them for quality, and what a seller should be mindful of. Tell me more about what really goes on behind the scenes at Dubara once the items fetch up. Can you break it down for us, like step by step? Once the items fetch up at Dubara, what kind of processes you follow before you put them up for sale?
Well, once I receive the items, step one is obviously to do a quality control to ensure that there are no stains, that it's not torn somewhere, that a thread has not come out somewhere. To do a complete quality control. I think that is step number one. Step number two is, even if they don't come with stains, I think it's important to just launder it in any which case, because you don't know where it's come from. You don't know the travel that it has faced to sort of get to me. It's just a part of basic hygiene that you just get everything washed once. The third thing is to mutually decide prices between the seller and me, for that matter. The mutual decision of the price is very important, because it's very imperative that both of us are on the same page about what we feel the price should be about, you know, everything. And then, of course, there's a whole process of photography which goes on. Now, any small business owner would know this, that literally you will do anything to get a picture of your product, whether it means carrying it with you halfway across the globe when you're traveling and, you know, taking pictures of it in between a forest or taking pictures of it in between an important meal. It doesn't matter, right? Like everyone's really looking for that one great picture, because again, every small business owner would also understand hiring photographers, hiring models is close to impossible because you don't have the budgets to do that, right? So the photography plays a very important role. On the other hand, what also is very fascinating is if you have a picture of a product that does not look very good, and if the product in itself is fantastic, but the picture is not great, it's not going to sell. It's as simple as that. So if you take a picture of the same product in like a better lighting or a better, you know, everything, better background, it will sell. So photography, I think, plays a huge role. Then, of course, it matters what your vibe is, right? Do you want to keep it clean and neat? Do you want to keep it like chic? Do you want to keep it historical chic, which is the vibe that I usually go for? Try to keep it as real as possible. So yeah, photography happens. And then, of course, you post it, you know, on social media, try to fight for your life through your likes. And, you know, get the product sold no matter what. So, yeah, these are the main behind the scenes that would sort of, you know, if I probably had a video of every time I was trying to take a picture of my product, I think it would make the funniest reel on Instagram, because it's just it's just such a tiring process, to be honest. But it is, again, the most important process, you know. So yeah, this is basically the BTS of any, I think, you know, sustainable fashion brand out there.
You mentioned discussing the prices with the seller and being transparent about it. Now, when you talk to them, do you also explain to them your overheads and how, I mean, I'm guessing that what you're selling for is more than what you are paying the seller, right? So do you discuss that breakdown with them? Yeah. Are you transparent about that and, you know, your profit and, you know, what you're making in the entire process?
Yes, like I said, you know, the transparency is, I think, one of the most important things, because when it comes to secondhand, I feel whether it's the seller, whether it's the buyer, whether it's anybody for that matter, even someone who's inquiring for that matter, I think trust is the most important thing, because it's such a new concept, because it's such a not such an accepted concept. Trust is, like I said, the most important thing. So discussing prices with the seller and being mutually on board with the seller is, I would say, of extreme importance. Like, you cannot have, you know, everything has to be written, everything has to be black and white. There can be no gray areas in this entire, you know, process of things. So I would say prices, the way they're determined is, A, of course, it depends on the condition, which I would place higher than what brand it is, etc. Like, if it can be a Louis Vuitton, it can be a Dior, it can be in, like, you know, 6 on 10 condition, and, like, what's the point, right? So I would say condition matters the most when it comes to pricing. Having said that, if it comes with a price tag, you cannot be selling it at retail, right? But of course, it matters if it comes with a price tag, right? The price would be slightly higher than the same item, probably not having a price tag. But I think condition is one of the most important. Second is, of course, the brand. People, when it comes to secondhand, are really looking for a deal. You know, if you can buy, say, I don't know, anything for that matter, at which retails for $100 or like 10,000 rupees, and if you're getting that for like 3,000-4,000 rupees, why not? So I think the brand matters a lot in when it comes to pricing. And third, I think what would matter is how old it is. Like, is it, now when I say old, there are two aspects of old, right? Is it vintage old? So if it's vintage old, then the price is higher. But if it's old in terms of just, it's an old piece of cloth, then perhaps the price will be lower. So age of the product then matters a lot. When it comes to clothing, it's perhaps older the product, lesser the price. When it comes to antiques, it's vice versa. So I think that is another factor that matters a lot when it comes to pricing. And of course, for every item, I think I have personally, if I haven't been able to find it online, like you go through a Google image and you try to, you know, sort of search a product. If I haven't been able to find it there, then I ask the seller, hey, do you remember the retail? Do you, you know, remember where you bought it, when you bought it, how much you bought it for? If they don't remember, then probably go on the brand website and just get a rough idea of, okay, you know, the price ranges between this and this. So a lot of times, if I'm not sure of the price of the product, I just say approximately 7,000 rupees, you know, because I know that the brand sort of ranges in that price bracket. So these are the factors. Yeah. So just to sum it up, I would say condition, brand, and age of the product matters the most when it comes to pricing.
So Siddhi, how do you go about determining that something is vintage?
First, you, like I said, determine the age. The age of the product matters the most when it comes to vintage. So if you see a product that is probably, you know, a lot of brands out there, they sell something that looks vintage, but it was like manufactured a week ago. So that is not really vintage, right? So a lot of times when it comes to sourcing, you have a lot, I mean, I have a lot of family friends who tell me, you know, when I was traveling in so-and-so year, I bought it from so-and-so place so many years ago. You know, like that I know for sure is a vintage piece. But more importantly, when you look at a vintage piece, you're also not looking for perfection. You know, the little imperfections is what really makes it a vintage piece. If it looks too perfect, it's not a vintage piece. Like the whole idea of vintage is that you appreciate the imperfection. You know, the imperfection becomes the perfection. So I think that is what really makes a vintage piece a vintage piece. And if someone is, you know, trying to sell you a bone china, a fine bone china, telling you that, hey, this is vintage, and it's like no stains, no scratches, no nothing, then is it really vintage? You know, so I think that's what matters. And you even look at the product, you can just tell, you know, that it shouldn't look perfect.
Sometimes the clothes tell their own stories.
Exactly.
Siddhi, what do you do with the unsold inventory?
Well, it's just been a year and a half since Dubara started. So all of the inventory that I have so far, and say if someone's given me something a year ago, and if it hasn't sold till now, I tell them, hey, you know what? Just wait. You never know. It might sell tomorrow. It might sell 6 months from now, but it will sell. Because I do know that a lot of times, and probably, you know, this is just perceptional, but you look at a person and you feel that, hey, you know, this person is going to come and pick up this particular piece, and then they go ahead and buy the exact opposite piece of what you expect them to buy. So you never know, right? Like a lot of people have such varied tastes and such interesting tastes out there that you never know, you know, how they say, like, one person's trash is another person's treasure. So you never know which person's trash is going to end up being which person's treasure. So up until today, nothing has been discarded. Nothing has been eliminated. It just stays in inventory with me. I still have a lot of people on Instagram who literally go through the page and like find something that was posted 8 months ago or like 13 months ago, and they probably pick it up, you know. So nothing has been discarded up until today. Of course, unless it doesn't meet quality standards. But apart from that, nothing has been discarded. Unsold inventory stays, and unsold inventory will probably, like I said, sell out within a week or sell out within 6 months from today. But it stays.
Right. Siddhi, you know, I think one of the biggest problems facing the secondhand market right now is that people hesitate to buy secondhand. You know, it could be concerns around the condition. It could be because of sizing. It could be hygiene. It could be n number of reasons. You know, it could even be superstition. So at Dubara, how do you address this? And how do you think, more importantly, that is, how do you think we can affect change in this mindset?
I think a lot of people obviously have their reservations when it comes to secondhand in India, because like I said, right, it's a very new concept for people to adopt here. A lot of people, I also hear them up to today saying things like, we're not poor enough to shop secondhand, you know, and I'm sure it is still a concept that is not widely accepted in our country today. But then again, there are so many people who have converted, literally I use the word converted, from being non-secondhand shoppers to secondhand shoppers now, because A, I feel there is so much awareness that is being created around the sustainable aspect of it. When you read about the tons and millions of tons that of fashion waste that end up in landfills, for example, you read about the global warming percentage because of, you know, the fashion industry. There's so much awareness available on social media today, on everywhere today, that you start then wondering that, hey, you know what? Am I being foolish to have these reservations? Then secondly, a friend of mine recently told me that I switched and I had a, you know, change in mind, because I also saw so many celebrities renting clothes. You know, if they can do it, we definitely can do it. You know, you have so many museum pieces from, you know, the Met Museum or the Victoria and Albert Museum, for example, that people are now taking and wearing, and it becomes like the biggest news, you know, that, oh, this person wore a museum piece. Well, that museum piece was also worn by somebody at some point, right? So if the so-called fashion biggies in the world are doing it, then what is really stopping you from doing it, right? So I think the fact that there needs to be more awareness about why it is completely normal, why it is completely sustainable to do this, and why that if there are so many people out there, celebrities, non-celebrities, doesn't matter, are doing it, then why not? Thirdly, I also feel like a lot of people have started now adapting secondhand fashion because they also don't want to be wearing the same Zara top as somebody else at a party. You know, the minute you buy secondhand, you also are fully aware of the fact that you're buying a unique piece. You're probably buying something, you know, from someone else's travels, which they probably did 3 years ago, which I think is so interesting. You know, you're also buying somebody else's story, which is so interesting. So I think the fact that there are a lot of fashion lovers out there, there are a lot of people who love fashion. And for these people who really believe in being unique, in having their own identity, in having their own fashion identity, I feel like there is nothing better than secondhand shopping for them, right? The fact that it is so individualistic also of somebody else's taste, and then you're buying somebody else's story, which I think is so interesting. So yeah, I think also a lot of awareness, like I said, just the awareness around it has to be so much that people actually believe that, hey, you know what? We really need to be the change. If the youth doesn't, you know, adapt this change and the youth doesn't accept this change, then what are we really doing with all of this social media knowledge around us and all this knowledge and all this education? Like, what's the point of it if we don't understand something as simple as what are we doing to contribute to global warming at the end of the day? So yeah, I do think these factors, which is to sum it up, being awareness, being socially aware about why this is so normal, and the fact that, you know, everyone's doing it, so you can do it too. Rihanna does it, so you can do it too.
No, absolutely. I think just the fact that we start appreciating that, you know, it is better for the planet in so many ways, better for our own wardrobes and our peace of mind. I think that in itself, that realization should be able to help bring about change. Thank you so much for such a lovely conversation, Siddhi. It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you, and I hope our audiences enjoy the conversation as much as I've enjoyed interviewing you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Prerna. Thank you.
Have you tried secondhand shopping so far? If yes, what have been your experiences? Tell us in the comments. And don't forget to like, share, and forward this episode to your friends and subscribe to our podcast. Until next time.